with us to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And so with Christ coming, that there was a promise fulfilled to the earth and to the world.
Yes.
And in doing that, there was something that was guaranteed for us. And I believe that there's something I want you all to take home and take with you until the next time we meet again. We can cut my lights up. Slide. There we go. There we go. John 14, 27, a New Living Translation. It says, I'm leaving with you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. And so the title of today's message is simply Jesus' peace. Not the world's peace, not our own peace, but literally Jesus' peace.
And for the young people, they know Jesus' peace as a chain. You wear your Jesus' peace or it's bling. Isn't it like a cross you're supposed to wear or something?
No, the face of Jesus.
Oh, it's a real face.
Yeah, Jesus.
That's lovely.
Pieces. But when we talk about peace, you know, what does that mean for us? Because we can hear, you know, God desires for us to have peace. It's his will. But how can we, when life gets crazy, find a way to calm down, be living present in the moment, and experience everything that God would want us to have? So the word peace, which is a gift from God to you. Everybody say, peace is God's gift to me.
God's gift.
Isn't it ironic how we try to work hard to get our peace back? When you're working for something that, because Christ came, he gave you.
That's right.
And what that means is wholeness, which means that even though you might feel like you don't have it all, the truth is you do because of Christ. It means completeness, total life prosperity. It means also to join. But another one, and I believe the most important thing to know, is that peace means overcoming and preventing enmity, which means the state of feeling or being actively opposed in war, or what I like to call beef. So peace squashes the beef. First, and for those who don't know what beef is, beef means strife, offense, anger, where relationships are broken. The most important relationship that we need to understand we have peace with before we fix any other relationship is our relationship that we have with God. And every young person in here today, I want to let you know that right now where you are, you might not feel like you have everything together. You might feel like I make mistakes all the time and I don't do anything right and my parents always get on me. But first and foremost, understand that in God's sight, you are loved, you are accepted. And when you learn that from an early age, it helps to change the trajectory of your life so that when you get our age, you're not having to unlearn things that you learn, because growing up, see, you might be upset that your parents have you in church, but let me tell you what your parents didn't have when their parents had them in church, that tablet in your lap. That's right. We had no tablet. What we had was a hymn book, and we kept reading and turning and looking for things that would keep us entertained, because we ain't have no electronics. We wish we would take out an electronic in the middle of service. All we had was a hymn book and a church fan. So understand, if your parents are a little upset right now, we're a little salty. Why are we salty? We couldn't entertain ourselves. We had to listen, and church wasn't as quick as it is today. Let me tell you, our church right now is nothing. It's like 15 minutes compared to being in church all day long. So don't give them no grief.
But that lightweight sounded a little salty. That kind of sounded a little salty right there.
It took me back to People's Baptist, and I just
see,
couldn't get out of service.
People's Baptist.
And I was wondering, when that man gonna be quiet? I understand that Jesus is coming, but when the Lord coming? Because I can smell the chicken, and, you know, you get kind of hungry, too, get a little angry. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Feeling my help coming on. I appreciate that. So, what we have to grasp, every single one of us, because this affects the quality of your life. If you believe that God is not for you, if you believe that I have to do something in order to be accepted by God, then when you find yourself falling short, you'll begin to give up on an authentic relationship God desires to have with you. And so what the Lord was saying, when Jesus came to the earth, that was God literally saying, I am giving you every proof that you'll ever need, that nothing will separate you from me ever again.
Amen. Amen. Jesus truly was the peace and the gift that we all did not deserve, but he loved us so much that he gave.
Now, I love the definition that you gave as far as the purpose. So we have the definition, but what exactly is the purpose
of peace?
Of peace coming to us?
So I'm going to just share a couple of things. And my husband and I, I don't know if we're going to go in detail about what our weekend was. Ooh. But, you know, peace is something, and I'm going to say this, it is freely given, but it's not automatic.
That's right.
Okay. And sometimes we think, well, if Jesus, you know, did all this, my life's just supposed to be easy. Let me tell y'all something. Anybody who's a true follower of Christ, I have never heard that testimony from them, that this walk has been easy, that this walk has been effortless. No, there is some trials and tribulations that we face. There are some things that we go through, sometimes not even for ourselves, but for others around us.
That's right.
And the peace that we experience during times of trials, during hard times, hardships in our life, let me tell you, God has given you that peace to show others around you his faithfulness toward you. That's for others around you to see how God is faithful toward you. And it's amazing we go through things, especially as mature believers. Y'all, there are going to be some things we go through, we don't know why they're happening. We don't understand it. We can't comprehend it. There is no logic behind it, especially when I was doing this and I was doing right and I was doing everything the Lord told me to do. And here I am blindsided with this thing. But I'm so happy that the Lord has given us his peace.
Don't it seem like when you're trying to do right, everything come against you to stop you from doing right? It's like, you know what? I ain't going to cuss nobody out today. I promise. You know what? I'm going to lower my cuss ratio to one every five words instead of one every seven words.
That's
I'm going
right.
to give you two more words. And then you, just when you make that decision, somebody come up to you. And before you know it, you back.
That's right. That's so true. And we say, Lord, forgive us next time.
Next time. I'm going to lower it. But as my wife was saying, when people can see you calm,
yep.
when people can see you collected, when they know if they were in the same situation and in the same circumstance, they might not have handled it as well as you did.
Yes.
It points people to a greater source of power than yourself.
It does.
And God has promised to bring you a peace when life goes crazy, when you don't know what to do, when you have so many things going on, where people are wondering, why are you not just
falling apart?
Because you have the gift
yes.
of God's peace. And so we want to look at a model so that you can take peace with you wherever you go. So when people come in contact with you, there's some things that you have a handle on as we close out 2018. The first thing I want you all to notice is that we are to pursue peace.
Pursue
peace, not in our own strength.
That's right.
Christ is the model for how we are to pursue peace, because peace does not become realized in our life by accident.
Nope.
You aren't going to accidentally walk in a state of peace. It is an intentional act. It's a deliberate act where you need someone greater than yourself to show you how to make peace. And peace is a relational term. So whenever we're walking this walk of life, whether when we're married, having peace in our homes, whether we have a roommate and having peace in our situations, whether we're on our jobs and we need peace in that environment, because people who do not have an inner peace create an outer turmoil to those around them. And so you have to be, and the only way to be different is that you operate according to this peace. Mm-hmm. Because you can make the same as someone else, but if you don't have peace, you won't experience the way you were intended to experience. How is it that we believe that if we could just have a little more money, life would just be a little better? But if you think about it, you used to say if you could get to the level of finance you're at right now, then life would be a little better. And you got to the level you are right now and said, you know what, if I could just get it, maybe it's a little further. And, you know, we talked about it, you know, a couple months ago about, you know, generosity and how we're always trying to acquire more. But in order to be satisfied with where you are today, in order to be content, you have to receive God's peace that no matter what goes on,
that's right.
God, I'm never going to see the bottom.
Amen.
And you've got me.
Let that be your testimony. Amen.
So we're pursuing never gonna see the bottom. Peace. I think about Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6, where it talks about Jesus who was despised and rejected by men who he was sent to die for. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. He was beat.
Yes.
He was tormented so that you would live a life free of abuse and torment for peace. He pursued that with us. We were the ones in the wrong. We were the ones who created the need for Jesus to come. But he said, even though we were in the wrong, I am going to still make things right. And that is completely opposite to how we handle relationships. Because fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. If we get to the third time.
When you start clapping, you know that's bad.
That's it. That's it. But how many times have we done things after we said we're not going to do that again? I promise this the last time. And if you get me out of this situation, and we did it again.
And it's amazing God's journey in pursuing peace. And, you know, we think about Jesus and we think, Lord, thank you for gracing that cross for us. Thank you for that. But how many of you know we're sent to be ambassadors of Christ? We're sent to be his representatives. We're not just sent to say, oh, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. No, we're sent to example and exemplify the same thing he did. And so I'm going to tell you all, pursuing peace, sometimes it's not going to be comfortable.
Mm-mm.
Sometimes the journey is not going to be easy.
Mm-mm.
To pursue peace.
Nope.
You think about what Jesus did to pursue peace for us,
mm-hmm.
How he had to go through some things. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass.
Gotta be some other way.
And there are some things God's going to call us to do that's going to be either relational with people that we don't want to fool with, we don't want to deal with, we don't want to talk to some family members that have maybe done us wrong, that have betrayed us.
Cut them off.
Yeah, that was that song, Cut It. Y'all know Cut It? It was on. Anyway. That's what we do. That's what we tend to do, honestly, especially if you did us wrong. If you cut us off or if you betrayed us in some kind of way, we don't want to fool with you no more.
We have set limits in our mind as to how vulnerable we'll be, regardless as to how much the Bible says we are to love one another.
Yes. Yes.
And so during this is the time where you're reminded of who said, did, thought of, you heard about, indirectly, whether it was on social media or through the grapevine. And we rehearse those things and say, I'm a person of principle. And my code says this. But when we look at God, who had his code was more extensive than our code, and he was willing to bypass his code to walk in peace with mankind.
Mm-hmm. Now, everyone, bypass his own comfortability even. Yeah. To bring peace to mankind.
Well, that was good. I don't have to say what I'm going to say. You said it right on.
Oh.
For sure, right on. So when we understand what Christ has first done for us, we understand the importance of peace, because the quality of your life is determined not by what happens to you, but it's determined by the quality of your response in the midst of life happening.
This is a true sign of a mature believer, truly. When life hits you and you don't respond the way everybody else responds, or you don't let your flesh tell you what to do, but you see that circumstance and you say, I don't know how, I don't know where, but Lord, I know who. And as long as I have you, we're good. And we're going to walk this.
Life is too short.
Yes, it is.
To be upset. To hold strife.
Yes.
To talk about what they did. Because all that is a cop out for you not believing God for what you should have had in the first place. Mm. And in your heart, the greatest gift that you could give, the same way God gave us, is peace. Yes. Well, they don't deserve it. Well, neither do you.
Right. That's right. Amen. That's right.
Now, whether or not anything happens from there, that's between them and the Lord. But I know in my heart,
you did what you were supposed to do.
We did what we were supposed to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So these next 2 points that we have on peace, I'm going to release the next one tomorrow in my weekly email. And then on Tuesday morning, Ash and I are going to do a special Facebook Live in place of our Tuesday Bible study. And we'll talk about the third point of peace that we wanted to share with you today.
And I want to share something before we close out. Okay. Y'all, we're a social media age. And while I love social media, it's a great tool to connect with friends who are far away, family who are far away. I want us to be cognizant of what we post, what we put out. Because let me tell you something, when you're going through, sometimes you want to express everything. But y'all, it's not wise, and it's not wisdom. You have to keep your peace, P-I-E-C-E, keep your peace, okay? And let God show you his peace, okay? And I know sometimes you want everybody to know, you want to set the record straight, you want to do this, you want to do that. The more we pop off, the worse it makes us look, honestly. And so we have to be wise with our words. And in pursuing peace, and even if the person doesn't want to work it out, they are just avoiding you or against you or whatever, it doesn't stop you from doing what you need to do. And so this story is wonderful, but there are a lot of stories that don't end up like that. Yeah. There are a lot of stories that don't end up where it ends up reconciling, but it doesn't matter. Have you forgiven? Have you released and have you blessed? And if that's all that you've done, then you did your part.
That's it. And so to her point in the social media, the rant, we want to get the rant out. Let me tell you how important it is for you to get wisdom when your emotions don't feel like doing what you're supposed to do. So maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, there's a potential, and y'all just get in faith for some major things to happen for the Outlet community starting in 2019. But one is a potential for a 7-figure deal. That's right, all 7 figures. There's a potential 7-figure deal that's on the table for the Outlet community. But what would have disqualified us, there was one line as we were reading. They said, do you have any social media rants against previous employers? How much would it have cost me to get revenge on something God was trying to restore?
And sometimes the Lord has a platform for you. And in order to reach that platform, you've got to be wise in how you reach that. Because, and especially in this day and age, people will go back years on you and see what you posted years ago and pull that up against you. And you were trying to be a witness for God, and now it's a castaway type deal. Y'all, we've got to be careful what we put out there. Because if not for today, live for tomorrow. Live for your babies. Live for your grand. Live for those who are going to be something that you are praying that God use them in a mighty way. Live for them.
Amen. So what I sense right now is I want us as a church family to pray for each other. You know, one thing that's becoming more and more evident to me is that as social media expands, we have to fight the natural tendency to block people out. And so my heart's desire is that in moments like these, we can just in our environments together can lock arms, can hold hands, and pray for each other. And so what I'm going to ask, if we could all just stand to our feet and maybe group up in pairs of five. And I want you to begin praying for the person that's you know, in that circle, in that band with you. You might not know them. You might not know what's going on. But God is going to give you the words to say, to encourage and to strengthen them. This is the importance as to why we gather. Sometimes we think we can get all the God we need at home. Well, if God desired us to be an island, he wouldn't have created anyone else. But there's something special that happens when we all bring our anointing, when we all bring our supply. Every person in here, every person under the sound of my voice, no matter how old you are, no matter how distant from God you believe you are, one thing is for sure, you are anointed, you are called, you have everything that you need, and we've got to share that goodness. Let's stop lowering our esteem to fit how we feel about ourselves. But let's say the things that God has said about us. Let's be the people that God has called us to be. So while you're in that circle, just start right now praying for the person on the right and to the left of you as we close out 2018, as we close out this year and launch them into 2019. There are people who have desires, dreams, hopes that we say they won't leave out of 2019 without fulfilling them. Without being everything that you called them to be, God. Lord, I pray that as a church community, Lord, our heart softens to our fellow brother and our fellow sister. Father, I pray that we're examples inside of our own household of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, meekness, self-control, God, godliness, long-suffering, forgiveness. Lord, let that be the distinguishing characteristic of our lives. Not that we were the richest, not that we were the tallest, not that we were the smartest, but Lord, let people know us by our love for the brothers. God, we're in a world where people feel alone. They feel like no one's for them. Is any person in here feeling that way? Heavy from the holiday season, thinking of the things that they don't have. Remind them that they have you. And because they have you, they have more than what they need. God, today is December 23rd. A little over a week away from another year that we've seen your faithfulness demonstrated to us. God, you brought us through 2018, through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. God, you were nearer than a brother to us. Lord, you not only heard every one of our cries, but you wiped every one of our tears. God, you've been better to us than we've even been to ourselves. You've been more faithful to us than we have to you. So just in our hearts, Lord, we cultivate a sense of gratitude. We turn our complaining into talking about how you finished the work, how you've done everything that we could have ever desired and ever needed. So, Father, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness.